Who can make sense of political drama? Say a few words and I'll talk your mama. Make everyone mad and still back Obama.
Roland Martin brought to you by McDonald's. Lunchtime, dinner time, your time. McDonald's all-day breakfast makes any time a good morning time. From Washington, D.C., Roland Martin, good morning.
I need a sausage, biscuit, and egg right now.
No problem.
Right now.
And some
I need somebody to bring one by the studio when I'm done with TV. All right, then. Certainly glad to chat with you guys. We'll be headed to L.A. today for the Image Awards. We'll be broadcasting the show there all week. So looking forward to that on Friday on TV1. And also, Iowa. Finally, enough with all the damn polls. Voters go to the caucuses tonight, so we'll see what happens there. And Ben Carson Thomas promising shock and awe. Fingers going to win. We have heard so much, obviously, about President Barack Obama being the first black president. You've heard praise. You've heard criticism. But really, what does it all mean? Well, Michael Eric Dyson has a new book out. It is called The Black Presidency. And he talks about, again, what it has been like for this president and what it means as well. Again, the black presidency, Barack Obama, and the politics of race in America. Michael, how you doing?
Hey, Brother Roland. How you doing this morning, my man?
Doing great. We were on Washington Watch on TV1. This probably was in 2000, late 09 or even 10. Mm-hmm. And you were very critical of some folks who said, wait a minute. There was one guest who said that Hillary Clinton would do more for black folks than the president. And that bothered you then, but how do you reframe that now?
Well, look, there's no question that Barack Obama has been, you know, attacked and assaulted by every imaginable quarter and some that were unimaginable back in the early part of his presidency. The obstruction has been incredible. It's been consistent, both from far right-wing racists as well as conservatives who are committed to making sure that his presidency is not successful. So in a sense, we can say that a President Hillary Clinton might be more successful because she's permitted to do things in public with public policy, perhaps, or at least public messaging in a way that Barack Obama could not easily do. So she might be handed the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, a bit more easily than a Barack Obama. Her president can play the saxophone in public and it not be seen as something appealing to black people or hooking black people up when he did public policy in a way that Barack Obama was constantly faced with. So in those senses, there's no question that there's a kind of white permissibility that's given to them that's not given to Barack Obama.
I wrote a piece at Essence Magazine in 2009 where I said that there is no way President Obama will be able to fulfill the tremendous expectations that were placed upon him, not just from African Americans, but also by progressive white voters.
Oh, there's no question. You were prescient then, Roland, as you usually are. And it's there's no way that all of the stuff that we put on him, and he was aware of that, could possibly get done. Progressives, you know, there's a new book that suggests that, you know, buyer's remorse because Obama didn't live up to those ideals. And look, you know, this is the political game, so people have a right to be critical of the president. It's just it should be fair criticism. It should be fair engagement. But the demands were high, the expectations were huge, and the impossibility of him fulfilling them are pretty much evident as well. I think he'll go down as one of the greatest presidents that we've had in this country, given the kind of obstruction that he has confronted, despite some of the failures that he may have shown during his presidency.
What would you say is a fair criticism of President Barack Obama from black folks?
Well, look, black folk have been entirely supportive of the president. What, 96-97% of us voted for him the first time around of voters, and then 93% the second time. So black people have been deeply and profoundly supportive of him and have understood that, look, he can't do everything that he might ordinarily want to do in order to fulfill his commitment to a key voterate, which was the black population. On the other hand, he was slow to the uptake in terms of dealing with the issue of race explicitly, feeling that he could somehow put it on the back burner and it wouldn't singe him, so to speak. But the nation got caught up in the flames of police brutality, got caught up in the flames of outright racism of people like Dylann Roof and the man who killed Jordan Davis. So there was a powerful racist element in this country that I think the president failed to acknowledge fully. And then secondly, the kind of lectures that he gave to black people on occasion. He doesn't do it anymore, or not so much now as he did at one point. And I think that was destructive and harmful in public places. So I think those things are the kinds of things that we can say those are fair and balanced criticisms, even as we acknowledge the obstruction and the racism that he has confronted from day one in that office.
What lessons will we have learned? Do you believe that African Americans made a mistake? I'll give you an example. The LGBT community presented the president a 54-page agenda within the first 60 days he came into the office. Black leadership didn't meet until 5 years later. Did black folks make a mistake by focusing on the first black president, but forgetting he also was the 44th president?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a beautiful way to phrase it as well. And I think there is some truth to that, Roland. The reality is that black folk were always going to give him a bigger pass than were others, especially white folk. And that's understandable. They got 44, they got 43 presidents, we got one. Well, white folk remind me he's half of them, so we got a half a brother, but he's a serious brother. And the reality is that when you got the first one, you want to treat him with kid gloves, you want to look out for him, you want to protect him, all of which are good things. But on the other hand, we denied ourselves the legitimate opportunity to not only ask but demand that the president be president for us as well. On occasion, Barack Obama would say, I'm not the president of black America. Well, we knew we weren't electing the president of the NAACP, but at the same time, we are a black constituency that deserves equal share. When the HBCU issue came up, African-American people like our good friend Tom Joyner, who's been consistently supportive of the president and supportive of the HBCUs, saw that there might be some tension involved with a black president who may have denied the legitimacy of that concern to black people in deference to his belief and obligation that he must be president of all. Well, look, we ain't you weren't the president of lesbian and gay America, but you did righteous by them. You weren't the president of environmental America, but you did righteous by them. You weren't the president of many other ethnic groups whose considerations were taken into account. So why is it that black people have to be exempt from that? So I think we were a bit naive about that and in love romantically, collectively with the president, understandably so, but that also shorted us on some issues.
And what about the lecturing of black people, as you note in the book, the black presidency, and taking black folks to task a lot?
Yeah, I think that was unfortunate. Look, if you're going to take everybody to task, that's cool. So if Roland has several kids and I got several kids and you got several kids and we always just there's one that we gonna, you know, take.
I'll have no kids. Go ahead.
That's what your mouth
said. You raising some.
Yes,
in
I did. That's true.
Okay. So the thing is that here we are. If we're saying to white America, because they look at it like, dang, the president is jumping on black folk for X, Y, and Z. That must be true. He's reinforcing stereotypes about black people. You know, he goes to Morehouse College on the graduation day, and he says, "Look, this is no time to make excuses." And well, Mr. President, they haven't made excuses because they're graduating. And then he said, "Nobody's going to give you anything you didn't earn." Well, again, they did earn a degree. The only person who didn't earn a degree that day was you because you got an honorary degree. How do we know? He went to Barnard, and he didn't make the same kind of speech. He went to Notre Dame. Now, some black people will say, "Well, wait a minute. When you're part of a group, you can say stuff to that group that nobody else can." Absolutely right. But here's the obligation you have as well, to represent them and to articulate their viewpoints. The president was wont to quote Chris Rock. You remember Chris Rock's famous routine? Black people always want something. They praise for something they should do, but want it. Like Chris Rock said that black men go, "I'm taking care of my kids." He said, you idiot, you should be taking care of your kids. But on the other hand, and President Obama would quote that part, but he wouldn't quote the other part, where Chris Rock would take white America to task for its persistent racism. So in lecturing black people, he presented a picture of black people as if we were somehow more likely to do the kind of things that needed to be reprimanded than white brothers and sisters as well.
Folks, the book is called The Black Presidency by Michael Eric Dyson. Michael, we certainly appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
It's going to be in the discussion. And, of course, during Black History Month, we're going to be celebrating President Obama, his impact on history.
No doubt. He's been a great man.
Absolutely. Good work, Dr. Dyson.
Thank you, ma'am.